You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Adam Patrick.
All right, welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast for thevikingage.com. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for the Viking Age. Before we get started today, make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. The site's username on Twitter is at the Viking Age, and you can follow the site's Facebook page by heading to facebook.com/theVikingAge. All right, on today's show, to help us recap the thrilling 34-31 victory over the Green Bay Packers, the Vikings victory, is Luke Parrish. He writes for us here at the Viking Age. He's been on the show in the past, so welcome back to the podcast, Luke. How are you feeling after today's Vikings victory?
Definitely feeling better today than I thought I would coming into this. It's good to be back. It's been a while since I've been back on here, so yeah. Good circumstances to come back, and
right.
Hopefully there's more of this in the future.
For sure. All right, so the Vikings, like I mentioned, they won 34-31. Greg Joseph hit a field goal to win the game. You know, that didn't happen earlier in the year, but, you know, props to the Vikings, I guess, for sticking with him. And he hit a field goal that Blair Walsh probably couldn't have hit back in the day. But he, 28 yards, gets the win over the Packers. It felt like it was going to be a win for most of the game, but then, you know, the doubts crept in the second half. The Packers did some things, and then some things kind of went the Vikings' way, which is weird, too.
Yeah.
And then they got a typical
Vikings game.
Yeah, yeah. They got the win in the final seconds. I would really like for one of these games at all, just one this season, to not come down to the final seconds.
Yeah.
Just one.
I don't think it's going to happen.
And if it is, if it doesn't, it'll probably be like the Vikings getting blown out, which, you know, I'm like, I guess it's okay. No, I don't want them to lose. But typically on the recaps, we go over positives and negatives. And since the Vikings won, we can go over some positives. You know, what's one positive that you took away from the Vikings' performance today?
I mean, the Packers. I mean, Justin Jefferson. I mean, he had monster day. They finally went back to him. I mean, they got him involved last week after he kind of voiced his, I wouldn't say his anger, but I mean, he was very vocal.
Frustrations.
Get me the ball. We're going to be okay. And of course they got him and Cook going last week and they got the win. They came back this week and did more of the same. And he went, I think he finished with 172 total yards.
Yeah. And, 'cause he had a run or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, you just get him the ball, you take your chances down the field, you live with what you get. I mean, even he had the 30 something yards on that pass interference to kick off the second quarter.
Yep.
When you throw it to your best player, you're going to get good results more often than not. So,
yeah, the Vikings, after those first two games after they came out of the bye, and he had what, like, four or five targets per game. Yeah. It was mind-boggling why they weren't getting him the ball as much as they could. And it kind of makes you a little angry looking back at those two games, thinking like all you had to do was give Jefferson maybe a couple more targets and the Vikings could be, 6-4 right now, 7-3 maybe.
Yeah.
If they do that, if they get the ball to their best player, which doesn't seem like it's too difficult. And the teams that they didn't do that against, the Cowboys and the Ravens, not exactly known for having, the most stout pass defenses
in the NFL
this year. So it didn't make a lot of sense.
They had that same issue with Trevon Diggs that we've seen all season. He's going to make some plays, but if you keep going at him, you're going to get some back. I believe they burned him deep early in the game, and then they just stopped going into it. And if you keep going at him, you're going to have a lot more success than trying to pound it up the middle with Cook every single play. And then you're stuck forcing the ball to Tyler Conklin in the flat on third and 14. It's not a good recipe for success.
This might be a little, include a little bias, but how many receivers right now in the NFL do you think are better than Justin Jefferson?
I mean, if you're going to go with the caveat, everybody's healthy. I mean, there's like three that I would comfortably take, and that would be Adams, which we saw today. He tore him apart.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins, but I mean, his health isn't there right now. And then I would throw a guy like might be a little of a shock, but Terry McLaurin, I think he's up there as
well. Oh, really?
I mean, he doesn't get a lot of credit, but I mean, today he named himself. Diggs is up there. Yeah. He's had a couple of quiet weeks lately, but I think he had two scores today against Indianapolis. So there's a few guys in there, but I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that Jefferson's a top five guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely, he's vaulted himself in that company, especially after these last two games. And it goes to prove just throw him up, just chuck it up. Like he's
worst case, you get maybe a deep interception,
or pass interference. It was just mind boggling the last couple of weeks just watching, Cousins chuck it down to Conklin or C.J. Hammond, and today Cousins just looked super aggressive. He looked how a lot of people thought he's capable of playing. That'll be one of my positives. Just Kirk Cousins just coming out being aggressive for pretty much the whole game. Typically you might see him just the first half. He'll be aggressive, and then the second half he'll come out and just try and not make mistakes. But today he didn't care. He's like, you know what? We're going to be aggressive. We can't, not be unaggressive against this Packers team because they're going to come back, and they did. But
got a little dicey at the end with that almost interception.
But you know, at the same time, he's taking chances. He's not just like, I don't want to throw that pass because it might get picked, and I'm going to throw it to C.J. Ham.
Yeah, so,
that could have been a terrible play at the wrong time. But at the same time, I'm like, I would like for him to take more of those chances. I wish it wasn't at that time in the game, but I want him to take those chances, going forward. Instead of just being like, D.D. Westbrook, catch this pass for 2 yards.
It's third and eight. Let's go ahead and just get in the punt. Get the punt crew ready.
Give them a good, give them a field position.
Making a 4th and 17, try to get whatever we can out of it. It's just take the chances early in the drive, and you might hit. I mean, they did it first half. Jefferson had the deep shot in the first quarter, which almost scored on it once again. He's gotten robbed of two touchdowns like that already this season.
I bet his fantasy owners are thrilled about that. Then just give the ball to Cook at the 1 yard line. Did you have any other positives from today?
There's a bunch. I feel like the defense, but second half that was. I mean, their first
rush
half
defense.
Rush defense. They contained AJ Dillon a lot better than I thought they would. Yep. First half they played really well, and second half Xavier Woods was back to the Xavier Woods we saw in Dallas last year, which is why the Vikings got him for so cheap. He just he got burnt a lot.
Mackenzie Alexander,
he got embarrassed on the second Devontae Adams touchdown.
I don't know what he was doing there.
Side fake hard, and he just which I mean, it's gonna happen against like arguably the best route runner in the league, but
you got it. Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like that's a rookie mistake that Alexander made, where you got to know this guy is. is going to try and probably go for the end zone most of the time.
Yeah, he's gonna. You have to watch his, what is it, the hips. You don't watch the head. He fell for the head immediately.
How many times is Devontae Adams going to run a 5-yard route? Like,
right.
Hardly ever. So I don't know why he thought that's what he was doing.
It felt like
that play, because Rodgers was under pressure. It looked like Alexander thought maybe Rodgers was going to take off, so he was moving up a little bit to make sure he didn't. But
that might have been the play with the timeout call that they he just kind of chucked up the whole defense.
And Rodgers was like, I didn't call timeout. I didn't know.
I didn't see it. They didn't blow it dead, so they had to play through it, which I understand. But it was, that second half was frightening. We knew it was going to go downhill as soon as they gave that toss to CJ Ham, and it killed that drive in the first half. And you're just like, oh, well, here we go.
I tweeted something about it right before, like saying, like, okay, this is the time in every game this year where the Vikings they've had the lead, a large lead, and they just like, oh, let's call a tight end screen. You know, let's run right up the middle. That's what they did. Three and out, and Packers got the ball back. And it was funny because the Vikings got the ball back too at the end of the first half, and they still didn't do anything. They took like 10 seconds off the clock, and Rodgers thought the first half was already over, and he went to the locker room.
Which I get it, because the Vikings are notorious for, they get the ball back with plenty of time to make a move. Okay, we're just going to run the clock out and go to the half. And I mean, Osborne didn't drop. He bobbled that, the one, it hit the ground. I wouldn't necessarily blame him. It was a little bit out of reach, but I mean, that, you know, what's going to happen. The Packers are going to score. Vikings going to get it back. And Greg Olson, I think it was, said like, oh, you don't want to give the Vikings enough time either. You don't know what they're going to do. I have a good guess of how this the first half is going to end. Yeah. They're going to kill it three times, which they did, and they at least tried.
They did. I was surprised when they got the ball, where they had those two timeouts left still, and it was like 30 seconds or something, and they were still trying to throw the ball downfield. I was like, wow, okay. Like, why don't we do this every week?
And then it didn't work, but at least they went for it.
Yeah, I think another one of my positives would be the pass rush. I feel like they got a good amount of pressure.
Yeah, especially early on.
Yeah, it did wear down in the second half. That's probably just because of fatigue and everything. But they were getting a good amount of pressure on Rodgers, you know, making him just throw the ball away, throw it into the dirt a bunch of times.
And he looked flustered a lot of the first half.
Yeah, he did.
He had a lot of throwaways, a lot of checkdowns. He looked frustrated a lot. I mean, that's what you want from Rodgers going. I mean, that's the best case scenario. And then, of course, the second half was the exact worst case scenario.
Yeah, I think he actually had better numbers than Kirk Cousins today. But most of it, I feel like, was on like two or three plays.
You could
argue that long 75-yard touchdown, which was super fun to watch. But yeah, I thought the pass rush did good. They got some good stuff from Sheldon Richardson and Everson Griffin caused some trouble, although he decided to just sneak on the other side of the field for a little bit.
I don't know what he was saying. He was close behind the ball. I mean, if you're looking at the ball to watch a snap, how do you not realize that you're in front of him?
He was looking behind him.
That's
Everson, though. You know, you can count on him for at least one offsides or encroachment, I feel like, per game.
Yeah.
Because that's what I thought it was when they called a false start on the center or whatever, which is always weird to me when you call a false start on the center. Like, he can move before anyone else.
Yeah.
But then I didn't have a problem with as much a problem with the officials today that I thought I was gonna. Like, they called it pretty cut and dry. Maybe the Vikings actually got some calls. More than the Packers.
Yeah, they got pulled out a few times. I mean,
I don't think there was any bad calls. Maybe, the Devontae Adams holding call or the Patrick Peterson holding call where he touched his arm or whatever.
Yeah, that one was like a little iffy. But I mean, I feel like there was the
roughing the passer.
The roughing the passer on Cousins only threw the pick.
That helmet was
a clear cut, and it was helmet to helmet right in the face.
Yeah.
There was a couple on Green Bay there, but I mean, Packers fans have been very vocal on Twitter about all that was rigged to this one. It's like, I don't know. You're not the fan base to make that argument. And I get, like, You don't ever want to be the guy that's like, oh man, the refs cost us this week. But I don't think it was that bad of an officiating game from I mean, they missed a call on Dalvin Cook on the opening drive. I think face it was mask. First play of the game, he got hit in the back for a face mask. They didn't call. I mean, they're going to miss some things. It's not the end of the world.
But yeah, no, I think it was pretty, as far, there weren't egregious calls. There were, I'm sure maybe Packers fans were mad about the almost interception. That they probably like, well, you know, the ground can't cause a fumble. but you got to hold on to it. So, yeah, I'm sure they that'll be talked about. And I'm sure they'll bring up something else. But, you know, they lost.
Yeah. Well.
So, they've lost two of their last three since Aaron Rodgers decided to lie to the public.
Yeah.
So, you know. Maybe don't do that. Did you have any other positives before we move on to the negatives?
I mean, I guess you got to give Greg Joseph a little bit of credit for hitting. I mean, nothing else really even stuck out. I mean, Dalvin had a nice game.
What about Clint Kubiak? What do you think of him today?
It was better. It's been better the last couple of weeks. I still do not understand the CJ Ham
effect. Why are those even in the playbook?
It's just, you got to stop it. You can't keep, like, I love CJ Ham, but you got to start using him how he's, like, use him as the block.
I don't. Get him they're not fooling anyone by running
especially when you do it once or twice a week. Teams are going to start expecting it. It's the same with, like, last year. It was the Adam Thielen end around on second short once a game. Like, they're starting to figure it out. They're going to be sitting on it. You got to find something else to do.
I did like how they had, I think it was Jefferson's, I think it was his first touchdown. They had him lined up in the backfield a bunch, which is kind of just a different way to, like, he got matched up with a safety, which I think, you know, is always good for Justin Jefferson. And got a touchdown on that. But they did that a couple times, which I think something we haven't seen
all this season. Get matchups for him or Thielen. I mean, even that's why I wish they had Irv Smith right now, because I think he'd be a guy that you can put in the backfield too, and just see what you kind of, if you put him and Jefferson in the backfield and shotgun next to Kirk, you don't know what to expect. You're going to get a linebacker on one and a safety on the other.
Yep.
I'm taking those chances every day.
For sure.
But I mean, not having him is a huge blow, obviously.
What about Zimmer? Did you, other than that challenge, I don't feel like he made too many questionable decisions, I feel like, as far as like timeouts and stuff go.
Yeah, he's done a lot better the last two weeks. He's I think he's like, oh, job's kicking him a bit. But like the challenge was whatever. Like, you're not gonna, there's no real gain.
I was gonna say, I hate when they teams challenge when it's first and goal on the one. Yeah. It's like, just take the ball. Like, what? Yeah. They're like, well, I could risk it and, you know, fumble. You could do that. Or you could just score a touchdown, too.
Yeah, just trust your guy. I feel pretty confident trusting Dalvin Cook and CJ for 1 yard. The same goes with, like, this week. Do you take the timeouts going into the end of the game?
Right.
Or do you try to score? Do you run the clock out? I'm always all for go get the touchdown and put it away and give your defense a cushion and never trust the kicker. But this week, with it being Rodgers, and I don't care. You got to just take it down.
Yeah.
If you have to, you go to overtime and you miss a 28-yard field goal, and then you just know it's not in your plan to win that game.
I thought it was interesting that the Packers, that LaFleur kind of just saved that timeout just to ice Joseph. And it's like, I guess that's a good idea, but you could have just – maybe save yourself a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Because Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's hit a couple Hail Marys in his lifetime. But yeah, I didn't have a problem with Zimmer today. Other than that challenge, just like, there's no, like you said, there's no gain or point. Like, and it was clear there was no replay angle that even gave you a good enough view to like overturn it. Like, it wasn't even close.
Right. So,
and I think just some more positives before we get to the negatives. Just got to go with the crowd, because that wasn't there last year, and it makes a big difference in that stadium. Got to go with Adam Thielen. He had a couple clutch catches. Obviously, he had the touchdown, which I think was a benefit of just the Packers just going with Justin Jefferson wherever he goes and dealing against the one-on-ones.
Then he had, long conversion he had on.
He didn't even see the ball coming.
Last drive.
Yeah.
I don't know how he caught it, how he stayed it bounced after whatever. He started stumbling towards the sideline.
But. And he had like that tippy toe catch, whatever, early in the game too.
I mean, yeah, he came up big in huge spots. That's exactly what his role needs to be. I don't think he's necessarily that primary guy anymore, which is fine. You have Justin Jefferson. Let Thielen take advantage of being the number two. And he's going to be probably the best number two in the league if you let him. So yeah. I'll take that every day of the week.
This might take a few more like closer looks the next couple of days, but should Mason Cole start again next week?
I don't know. That first half with Kenny Clark was tough. But then again, is Bradbury going to make it?
Yeah.
He's been solid. I guess you can roll with him. But
I felt like Cole kind of, he got overpowered, but then he was able to kind of like recover, I feel like, at some points. Where
he stepped in a little bit later too. So. Yeah,
where with Bradbury, I feel like he would just been like thrown around like a rag doll.
Yeah, it's certainly an experience.
And Kenny Clark's good. He's one of the best defensive tackles in the league.
Like, yeah, that shouldn't be like necessarily like looked over. Like,
that's like, oh, you got beat by Aaron Donald. It's like, oh, you're terrible. It's like,
yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I'm not going to argue that Cole had it necessarily easy coming into the day. But
I think the thing is with Cole is like, we're not ending each game like, oh, Mason Cole, like, he's just terrible. Or with Bradbury, we're like, God, just get him out of there. Like, he doesn't, and Cole hasn't been, I don't think he's been called for any holding calls or penalties or anything like that. So that's always, I feel like Bradbury at least had a couple of those.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I like that the Vikings are actually sticking with the guy that's playing well, even though the other guy's a first round pick. So you could, in the past, I don't know if they would have done that. You look at guys like Matt Khalil or like Laquan Treadwell, like just giving these guys opportunities that they probably didn't deserve because there were guys who were better than them on the roster, but they were first round picks. So like, oh, we got to give them more chances.
Right. Which that brings up the point. I believe there was no negative plays today from Udo.
Right. Yeah. I don't think he had a penalty.
That's been huge. Cause that's been,
he's been
the biggest. I mean, that, the offensive line's been really good this year, especially considering what we've seen the last, three or four years. It's just been...
Three or four?
I mean, well...
10.
The highlight for Kirk Cousins' sake, since he's been here, it's not been favorable. And then I thought this year they've been really good, especially with Ezra playing at left guard, Darisol stepping in at left tackle the last few weeks. He's been phenomenal. O'Neal's obviously one of the best right tackles in the league.
Yep.
Just getting that consistency from the center and the right guard spots, all they need. And they're kind of getting that with Mason Cole. And if Udo can play just incrementally better, they'll be fine.
No penalties, too.
That's what they're getting. So it worked today. Their offense.
But I guess we should mention that, too. The Vikings, they had like significantly less penalties than they had last week. They only had 3 penalties today for 25 yards. I think they had like 11 or 10 or something like that last week. They've been flagged for penalties a lot. I think they mentioned on the broadcast, they're like 31st.
Yeah.
So today was a huge improvement and made a big difference. They're also 9 for 13 on third down. Oh, I didn't even realize that. That's very good.
Yeah.
So a good performance from the Vikings. I think they showed, they played like the team that I feel like everyone thought they could play like entering the season. Like this is a team, aside from the defense, you know, giving up some big plays. But you're going against Aaron Rodgers, too. So you have to think about that. But the way they played today showed that they can beat. And the NFL has just shown this year, like, any team can beat any team. Like, the Titans just lost to the Texans.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Titans lost pretty
handily. Jags beat the Bills a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. It's been, the last few weeks have been hectic.
The 49ers beat the Rams. Yeah. So this season, like, this feels like a season where, like, if you just get in the playoffs, that's all you need to do.
Yeah, you've got a shot. Especially, like, there's not a single team really in any either conference that's like
dominant,
proven anything. Like, Tampa Bay looks beatable.
Green Bay, that's lost to Washington.
Yeah, like,
Like who's?
I mean, the Vikings have the weapons. They can beat anybody on any Sunday or like Saturday or Monday, I guess, if we're going to go to the playoffs. So,
like the Cardinals, okay. If when Kyler comes back, that's a team to worry about. But the Vikings almost beat them in week two
on the road.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not. If the Vikings play like they did today, I'm not worried about them at all for the rest of the year. But that's the key. They got to keep playing like this. Like, can't go back to how it was 3 weeks ago, where it's just like, what are you doing? So, and the good thing is no one got hurt today. That's another good thing.
Yeah.
No one got hurt. That's always good. Nobody got hurt. But moving on to the negatives, I'll just get out and say this, just not holding on to leads. Like,
yeah,
the end of the second half or end of the first half, I don't know what is going on, whether they're playing prevent defense every week or what it is, but for some reason their opponent just give them an automatic touchdown or field goal, because that's what it feels like they're going to get anyways. I don't know what's going on. And then the Vikings, they seem to get a lead, at least again today they were what, 16-3, and the Packers came back and they were leading at one point, and it's just like,
yeah,
what are we like, what are we doing?
It's up to what, like 59 points allowed in the last 2 minutes of a half.
Yeah, it's not good.
Bizarre. I don't know how it's possible, because they always look so dominant in the first half, and then they just it slowly falls apart. They just
Zimmer takes his headset off or something. Like what's going on? Yeah. Did you just stop calling plays and have a
we need to be more aggressive. Okay, then do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like Justin Jefferson had 104 yards in the first quarter, and then didn't have a target in the second.
Yeah, makes sense.
And they went back to him in the second half, and all of a sudden, wow, their offense is back. That's crazy. I would probably I would keep him involved in the offense as much as I can.
Yeah. And we mentioned the pass defense. That was not good. I think Aaron Rodgers had 385 yards passing. I don't think Patrick Peterson had a whole lot to do with that. I don't think Rodgers really threw the ball in his direction when he was on the field.
Yeah. I know he looked, after his hold of, if you want to call it a hold on Adams, he looked kind of uncomfortable. He kept grabbing at his groin. I don't know if he was having an issue with that.
Right.
And then I didn't hear what they said he had stepped out for, but I know he came back second half.
I was going to say he had a bandage on his arm that looked like an IV. So maybe he was just gassed from first game being back. Maybe he had some cramps or something.
I mean, he's looked good all season.
Yeah,
he doesn't look like he's really lost a step. I think him coming to Minnesota has been huge for his career. So
for sure, he's gonna get paid this year.
He needs some sort of consistency at corner.
Yeah, he's gonna go to the Saints or something, get a lot of money. Well, not them, because they're not gonna have any money. but yeah, did you have any specific negatives other than the ones that we mentioned?
I don't think. Yeah, I think everything else kind of just tied into blowing the lead, like the missed extra point. We got to stop making kicks so complicated. Everything else, it just seems like today was as good of a game as you're going to get from this team. You know what you're expecting, and then pass defense just can't be that bad.
Why do we think that Alexander Mattison doesn't play well whenever Dalvin Cook is in the lineup?
I don't know. What's going on with that? When he is the only guy that's healthy, he'll put up 125 and a touchdown. He'll be helpful in the pass game. But then he comes in and I don't know if it's just because he's not getting consistent touches, so he doesn't get into the feel of the game. Right. He just comes in, he gets stopped for no gain every single touch. He's not effective as a receiver. Mm. It's so hard to watch. I can't figure it out.
It's really weird.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I would love to see Wongwu
involved
a lot more.
Just give him a touch. Yeah, just
if you want to replicate Cook, I think you're going to get a lot more out of Wongwu than you are out of Mattison. Their skill sets are so much more similar than what.
And even if you don't give Wongwu the ball, don't hand him off the ball, he could burn a linebacker down the field so easily.
Yeah.
I don't know what his receiving skills are. Maybe they're not that great, but just what you have, this guy on the field that's faster than just about anyone in the league, and you're just like, let's keep him on the bench.
It reminds me a lot of how they handled Jerick McKinnon when he was here. His first year, it was like, okay, we know he's good, let him get involved.
Then Peterson came back.
Yeah, and then Peterson was out. McKinnon became the starter, with him and Murray kind of split reps or whatever, and then oh, look, McKinnon was really good, got a bunch of money. Do that with Wongwu. I think you're going to be pretty successful. You just have to obviously get Cook his touches. But
yeah, I think if Wongwu was able to stay healthy, I wouldn't be surprised if he opened up next year as a number two guy, or like during the offseason they trade to Madison, because someone's always looking for a running back.
Right.
Madison's not terrible. It's like, what's going on every time?
Yeah.
He's not the guy. It's like, what are you, Leroy Horde back there? Like, just yeah, 2 yards, 1 yard.
That's funny you ask, because I was thinking about that all day. I was like, why is he not like effective whatsoever as the backup? But as the starter, he can put up the exact same line as Kurt or as Dalvin. It kind of drives me nuts, but you get what you get, I guess.
Yeah. I think what do you feel about lifting the kicker in the air after a week 11 game? When you're 5-5 after he wins the game, like, this isn't the Super Bowl. Like, come on, what are we doing?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, it's probably huge for him, especially after he has missed some clutch.
It's good for kickers. It gives him a confidence boost for sure. But I'm
a divisional game, it's great. Like, yeah, like, it's a big win. But yeah, it's like,
what are we doing?
There's still a long road. You're still
5-5.
Yeah.
Let's chill out. You didn't, if it was a playoff game, okay. But, or get in the playoff game, fine. But week 11, let's just high fives.
Congrats for down 2.5 games in the division.
Yeah. Now. Like, I'm just like, because they did that against the Lions. When they beat the Lions, when Greg Joseph had the kick. And I'm like, you just beat the Lions. Let's not lift the kicker up.
That has not been good. That's been their closest win. Well, I guess they could get a tie. That's
yes, 10 yes.
They've right, got. Right. But
yeah, let's not throw him in the air like he just won like the Super Bowl. Okay, it's the Lions. I don't think I had any, like the dumb penalties we talked about. Everson holding on to leads, just not covering Davante Adams. Like,
he's that first play of the game, I thought it was already over.
Yeah, like arguably the best receiver in the league, and you're like, man, he's fine. He's good. He's not going
to
do anything.
That happened, I think it was 2 years ago when they went to Green Bay the first time, or for their first match.
So Xavier Rhodes is just like getting burned.
Yeah, they just Adams for like 30-something yards on the sideline. I mean, how? He's their only option.
Right.
You've got to step to him. It doesn't make sense to me.
There's some other Packers receivers I feel like are stepping up this year, but yeah, Adams, he's the guy. You know, whenever Rodgers, like, you know, needs someone to throw to, he's going to throw that. Like that throw in the back of the end zone when he got by two Vikings. I think it was Eric Kendricks and somebody else. He just backed in the end zone. It's like, why isn't someone just like stuck to him the whole time? You can't play zone around Davante Adams. Like, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
He's going to find a pocket every time.
Up on him and hope for the best. Because even then, if you got a guy sticking to him, you're probably not winning that either, but you have a better shot of winning a 1v1 than a 1v0.
Right. All right. So next week, the Vikings are on the road against the 49ers, who they just killed the Jaguars today. Okay, great. But they destroyed the Rams last week, too.
Yeah.
It's not going to be easy. I feel like Mike Zimmer's had success against Kyle Shanahan though in the past, except for that playoff game. But what do you think? What do you think about this game? All right, like, quick thoughts, I guess. Like, you're not going to be surprised if the Vikings just fall flat on their face next week, are you?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, both teams are coming in extremely hot. I think Deebo Samuel scored again today.
Yeah,
he's going to be a nightmare.
I think he had like a reverse or something. Yeah,
yeah, like they've had problems with top tier weapons all year, which is why they're top tier weapons. Like, they're gonna make life difficult for defenses. But
yeah, I don't even know what the 49ers are good at this year. Like,
they just run the ball.
Yeah,
and they use Deebo as a running back.
Who's their running back?
They've got Elijah Mitchell and Trey Sermon.
Exactly. Like, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
they've got so many guys back there. I think Mostert's still on IR.
Right.
I mean, Jimmy G's their quarterback.
Kittle's healthy.
A lot of hope. I was really hoping to see Trey Lance by this point, but they just keep winning despite how bad Jimmy G's been. So I don't think we're going to see that sort. I mean, he is still like a package option. I believe he had like 3 carries today. But
if the Vikings go into San Francisco next week and win, I'm back on the this team's good. Like,
I mean, yeah, I'm looking at their schedule right now. If they win that, there's a good chance they could win
think about what the Lions and Bears
in a row because they've got San Francisco and then they're Detroit, Pittsburgh, who's been up and down all year, and Chicago. And I think Pittsburgh and Chicago, I think Pittsburgh's a Thursday night, Chicago
in US Bank.
Yeah. So, I mean, you rattle off and that makes six in a row. That puts them at what I believe 9-5 going into the Rams game.
And before this four game stretch they just had against what? The Chargers, Packers, Ravens, and Cowboys. I think a lot of people would have been fine with the Vikings being 2-2 coming out of the stretch. And here they are. 2-2.
Yeah. Not the 2-2 that you would have thought, but you got two
somewhere. Exactly.
You'll take whatever ones you can get.
But yeah, like those first two games, people are like, ah, season's over, three games, they only got three wins, you know, like let's get ready for the draft.
I'm guilty. I'll be honest.
Oh, for sure. No, I am too. how could you have confidence in that team?
Right.
Losing the, what, the, who's the backup quarterback? Oh, Cooper Rush. And then blowing that lead to the Ravens when you could have easily beat them. But they're 5-5 now. You know, as I'm sure somebody will say this week, you know, we're back to zero now. Next week is week one. So, you know, they got
I think right now they sit as the sixth seed.
Yeah, they do.
So
they got the tiebreaker over the Niners or something because the Panthers lost today, which was surprising because I felt like they were going to do a lot better with Cam Newton. But I guess their Washington football team is, I guess Taylor Heineke is, you know, making some moves over there.
Yeah. He'll probably be terrible next week, but hey.
Oh, sure. That's like a Ron Rivera team, though. Like, they don't win. His teams have never won, except for that one season where they went to the Super Bowl. His teams don't win pretty. Like,
no.
It goes down to, like, the final seconds pretty much all the time. That's why he's, you know, Riverboat Ron or whatever he is.
Yeah.
but if the Vikings win next week, yeah, we can start, I feel like, taking this team seriously. But we're Vikings fans, so we know that they could easily get blown out next week, too. So,
yeah.
That's all I got for today. So where can people follow you on Twitter, Luke?
At LukeParrish_NFL.
Cool. And he's got stuff up on the Viking Age. He just wrote about some draft quarterbacks that the Vikings could get next year to possibly replace Kirk Cousins and some veteran quarterbacks. So go check that stuff out. Go check out all his stuff. Go check out the Viking Age. Follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. And subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. But until next time, we will talk to you later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.